Blog Talk Radio.
And at that moment, you'll notice you're not as dead as you thought you were. And you'll realize there's nothing more effective for breaking you free than philosophy in action. And when your intent and your actions are in alignment, you can finally stop pointing fingers at everyone and everything else and harness the power within and commence your empowered life with a mindset that screams, I'm free.
Hi, this is Byron Katie.
Hi, this is Dr. John Gray, author of Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus.
Hi, this is Greg Braden.
Hi, this is Joan Borisenko. I'm author of Your Soul's Compass.
Hi, this is Dan Millman, author of Way of the Peaceful Warrior.
Hi, this is James Redfield, author of The Celestine Prophecy. You've tuned in to a radio show that can truly change your life. It's time to break free from the prison of your negative thoughts and release your greatest self. You're listening to Empowered Living with Steve Marabowie.
A Better Today welcomes you to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free with host, speaker, writer, and personal coach, Steve Marabowie. In the next hour, Steve and his expert guests take you on a quest for truth and highlight philosophies and strategies that help you release your greatest self. It's time to focus on your potential instead of your limitations. Here's your host, Steve Marabowie.
Welcome, welcome. You're listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Marabowie. As always, you are welcome to participate with this show no matter where you're listening, no matter how you're listening. You can participate through AOL Instant Messenger. The screen name is ABT Radio Show. That's one word, ABT Radio Show. You could also participate through our website, empoweredlivingradio.com. That's empoweredlivingradio.com. Just tell us who you are, where you're from, and feel free to ask a question of myself or my wonderful guest. Joining us shortly, internationally best-selling author Marianne Rademacher. She's amazing. She's an author. She's an artist. She's a trainer. She's one of my favorite people on earth, and definitely a listener favorite on the show. We're starting a new series today called Practical Reflections, and I can't wait to talk to Marianne. But first, of course, I want to say hello to all my brothers and sisters who served. Happy Veterans Day to all of you. It has been my honor to celebrate you on this day. There's a lot that goes into serving your country. It's not just the physical, it's the emotional, it's the commitment. There's a whole lot that people go through and that they volunteer for. It's just a fantastic. And I know that there are a lot of veterans out there who were drafted, anytime you spend some time with veterans, you see that it's a special group of people. There's a special brotherhood and sisterhood amongst us, and it's always an honor to celebrate my brothers and sisters who have served. So thank you so much. Thank you for participating, and hello, a Better Today community. Let's keep doing it. Listen, never forget that power of one. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. That's it. I'm not going to tell you how to do it, just do it. I'm not going to tell you how to participate, just participate. Get out there and touch someone's life. Let's get out there and show, not just tell, but show the world what kind of place we all want, what kind of participation we all want, and what love and compassion means to us. So thank you, Better Today community. Folks, I want to get to the show. Marianne Rademacher is an internationally best-selling author. She's a fantastic trainer, an amazing writer. She's a poet. She's an artist. And she's, again, an amazing woman. We're doing a new series called Practical Reflections. And we're actually picking favorite lines of ours. I have all of Marianne's books, and I open them all the time. Because Marianne's books, what's so interesting about her books is you can just open it to any page, and something will jump out at you. It's the way she writes it. It's the brilliance that comes from her mind. So let's do a series on that. And today we're going to be talking about the line, "May your every day dawn with purpose and promise." We're excited to have her on. As always, Marianne Rademacher, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Steve. Hello, everybody.
Good morning, and thanks for coming back on, and thanks for starting this new series where we get to celebrate and talk more, have our, you know, our dinner table conversation about life, about freedom, about struggle, about truth, and most importantly, that the message I see resonating out of you, out of your actions, and out of your books more than anything now is talking about love and what that means. So thanks for coming back on the show, and thanks for talking today about may your every day dawn with purpose and promise. Is this a line that you had written somewhere else before writing your book?
Yes, it was part of a larger blessing modeled on an Old Testament blessing, and also those fabulous Irish folks that love to bless people in threes, three different ways in one blessing. So this was one part of three. But for you, it becomes a statement, not a blessing, Steve, because when anybody talks to you, they just have to drop off the may and say, your everyday dawns with purpose and promise, because that's how you write your life. That's how you do your days.
I like how
but
you...
A lot of,
go ahead.
A lot of people don't have that level of of commitment and discipline to the start of their days. And morning time is really a very consequential element in how the whole day is going to go. So that's why it's written this way, may your every day dawn with purpose and promise.
And it's funny because when you say that, this is the way I write my life, I love that you say that, because something that comes up on the shows and when we have these conversations is that people forget that they, in fact, do write their days. The days aren't pre-written for them. They actually get to write their days. And that's a power that a lot of people relinquish on a daily basis, Marianne. What does it mean for you on a typical day in your life of having your day dawn with purpose and promise?
Just yesterday, an old friend of mine had called and was inquiring about some specific challenges she knew I was facing. And toward the end of the conversation, she said, Marianne, how can you take just a few more minutes and tell me how you do this? Because one of the things that you have just identified is a huge in our world, overwhelming challenge, and it's just, and I finished your sentence and said, it's just a part of my day. It's a character in the play. It's a thing that I deal with. And it doesn't put me on fire. It doesn't, on this particular day, threaten my breath or my capacity to walk or breathe or love. So it's no more significant than anything else. This challenge, time for lunch, going to do some data entry, you know. And we allow certain challenges to take on monstrous proportion by the stories we write about them. And when, in fact, every challenge is dealt with just like every joy, one element at a time. You can't solve the problems of your day at 6:11 when you're just blinking your eyes open, but you can choose a purpose that's before you and embrace it and say, that's the marker that I'm heading toward today. And everything else gets to stand in line and go in cadence with that thing that I choose.
That's how I answered your question. Do you feel that that other people are receptive to that message? Do you find that the people you surround yourself with understand how you go about your day?
You've asked that question in a key capacity, Steve. You said the people I surround myself with. And yeah. I intentionally surround myself with people who get it and embrace and practice love and acceptance for the people that I need to be around that don't get it. And in the course of my day, I've sort of dropped out of the practice of trying to help people who don't get it understand all the reasons and what it is that I'm doing. Because it means that in a visual way, trying to preach to a non-choir in the process of living my day makes me turn around and look backwards. And so I don't do that, but I celebrate by my actions. I model my commitments, my passions, and my purposes by my behavior and lift that up in the course of every day, that if somebody wants to start a different way, start a new direction, they see the model in my life. But I'm not preaching the model. I'm living the model, except when I get to talk on the radio with you and talk about how we do it with people that are interested in picking up different practices and doing things a little differently. That's a lot of fun. I appreciate the opportunity every month.
You know, we've talked about this before, and you talked about last time when you came on the show that on one particular day that you awoke with the purpose of taking a stand against bullying. And I get tons of messages about asking about how that is going, because you're maintaining the practice of keeping your head shaved until Thanksgiving time. And so I would love for you to share what you can share with the listeners about what this taking the stand has done for you, what kind of experiences you've had, and what people have said.
I'm going to go backwards. What people have said is the broad spectrum between hateful, vitriolic, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, it's a very vicious, strong word, commentary, making assessments and judgments about me involving, don't shove your lifestyle choice down our throat.
Nice.
I have had a lot of disparaging attitude because I'm standing, specifically the prompt was the bullying of gay and lesbian children in schools. A lot of the animosity directed toward me is assuming that I am also a lesbian, because I'm standing for people who are different. And then the pendulum swings to people who are inspired and have donated to the Trevor Project and have looked up the resources that I've made available on my website and have said, thank you for broadening our view. So that's the external commentary that I've gotten. Isn't that funny? You asked two other questions. I can't remember what they are. Help me, Steve.
Just more specifically, just the experience that you've had and what encounters you've had with yourself. Because you know, nobody likes being anyone saying anything disparaging about them. And I'm curious, just on a personal level, if you ever felt the need to defend yourself, or if you felt embarrassed during this. I mean, you know, for a woman to shave her head in our culture, a lot of ways that could, who doesn't normally keep it that way, that could feel embarrassing. And I've spent time with you, and you are beautiful, and I don't know how much of that you identified with your hair or what. So I'm curious on a personal level of how you felt during this journey.
The first day, it was like looking at a stranger in the mirror. And that very first week, a good friend of mine said, why did you choose to do this so long? Wouldn't have been doing this for a week done the trick? And my motivation for taking such a long period of time was this, Steve. Kids that are being bullied don't get to say on one somewhat sunny Thursday afternoon, all right, I'm done with this. No more bullying. I'm going to grow out my experience and not be bullied anymore henceforth. it doesn't happen with kids that way. And I knew on October 9th when I had my head shaved bald that Thanksgiving was a long way away. And I did that purposefully so that I was instructed by the experience, so that it wasn't just a exercise, but it became a teaching experience for me. And I am not embarrassed. I am committed and very stalwart in my decision to draw attention to bullying, that it's not acceptable behavior. It's not a normal part of growing up. We don't have to tolerate these types of behaviors. And the interesting and surprising thing for me has been a deeper compassion toward the people who bully. When people have laughed at me or made unkind commentary right to my face, I have been able to look at them and understand they were probably hurt, harmed. They feel poorly about themselves. There's something in them that's small that needs to prey upon another person that feels vulnerable to them so that they can feel better about themselves. And it's enabled me to give back, not sarcasm, not harsh commentary, but a little bit of grace. And not to shame them, although I have to say that sort of it produces an element of shame, because when they give out harsh bullying and get back acceptance and a loving look, they recognize the irreconcilable difference between those two behaviors. I was bullied as a child in a diversity of ways, and a friend of mine asked me, how can you keep writing the bullying resources on the left side of your head? And I said, wow, I didn't know. And so 2 days later, I was having a photo shoot commemorating this event in my life, and the professional photographer asked if I wanted to put an antithetical or a companionable message on the other side of my head, the right side of my head. And I said, okay. And I wrote love. And, oh, sorry, Steve, this is the first time I've said this out loud. When I saw the picture in his digital frame after he took it, he walked up and he said, oh, look, just centimeters above where he had written love was this huge scar that all my life has been hidden under my hair from when I was in grade school and a peer in a fit of anger hit me in the head with a chair and cracked my skull open. And I said, oh, and he said, what? And I said, I just realized why I haven't been writing anything on the right side of my head, because I am bearing a scar from bullying too. And as you can hear from the sound of my voice, it's not casual. I'm not cavalier about it. And this is what I've discovered everywhere I've gone, that when people aren't angry approaching me, they want to tell me a story about how they were bullied or how they bullied and what they learned and how they changed or how their children are being bullied right now. This is not a small issue. This impacts everyone in some way.
It absolutely does. And you know, do you have you learned anything you didn't know about bullying? Have you learned, are there new methods of bullying? When we were young, there weren't, of course, any cyber methods of bullying. Have you learned more about bullying itself?
The closer that bullying gets to an individual's personal prejudices, the less willing they are to stand up for whatever creature is being bullied. People universally will largely defend an animal that's being harmed. This is just, it's a harsh realization, but it's why it's such a significant issue. People will help a geeky kid, a really, really smart kid that isn't as socially adept as their peers. Somebody will stand up for that kid. But then you move into this area of cultural prejudice, and this phrase that's been so glibly thrown around, oh, that's so gay. And the more resonant the bullying is with an individual's prejudice, the less likely they are to stand up. Because somewhere deep in their belief system, they're saying, well, and you hear these phrases, they ask for it by being so different. That very explanation was offered by a vice principal of a school to a parent who was speaking to me, who said to her about her child who was being beaten and bullied, your son asks for this treatment by being so different. Steve, that is not acceptable. That is not behavior that at any age we should tolerate. In America, we say we honor the individual. We bring purpose and celebrate people who are unique and different as adults. But as children, we ostracize them. It's not right, and it has to stop.
It's not right. It has to stop. And you said something really powerful that I had to look into when I said something. I mean, in today's age that we say something, you posted it, and I looked on Facebook, I think it was, and you had shared a piece of art with the Facebook community, and I read that you were talking about indifference. And I remember Dr. King talking about indifference, and I was looking for what I could find as a source of it, because I knew there was a piece that was larger. And in Elie Wiesel's 1928 Nobel Prize speech, she writes about this, and she says, the opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference. The opposite of art is not ugliness, it's indifference. The opposite of faith is not heresy, it's indifference. And the opposite of life is not death, it's indifference. And it really hit me to see you write that the opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference. Because I could almost feel at that moment that you have probably encountered a ton of indifference, and that these kids who are getting bullied encounter indifference. And when people are going wild about sports teams and painting their faces, there's somebody next to them who is living in hell because of other people's anger and also indifference. How has your relationship with indifference been affected?
I was a passionate individual before this experience, Steve, and I'm really, I'm overwhelmed in my own being with how aggressive, that's the only word I can feel, how aggressive, how earnest I am about speaking with my voice for people who can't find their voice. And I'm so glad you found that. I think that quote must come from a man who's written several books and was a Holocaust survivor. So thank you. I'm going to look into that more deeply. It's so fascinating that realization, because we hear all our life that hate is the opposite of love, came to me experientially, not through study and not through other people's words, but shaving my head and walking in the world and having people just look at me and turn away.
It's the truth, and it really
it has
hit
been.
It hit me when you wrote about it, because it's right. Indifference is, you know, Dr. King said, in the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. And talking about indifference just hit me hard, because I've seen it myself, and I have actually stopped being concerned about it. And just seeing you write about it, I said, wow, this is what it is. It's about indifference. It's indifference is a tremendous poison out there. And when it just, for me as a former soldier, I look at you in many ways now as a current soldier, and I just saw that, and it hit home with me, because indifference is suffocating that fire within, and you're absolutely right.
I want to partner this commentary with a piece of compassionate understanding, and that is this. Tender hearts, and you're a tender heart. So many of your listeners have tender hearts. I do. If we practiced loving earnestness toward everything that came to our eyes, we would never sleep. We would have no resources, because we would be overwhelmingly compelled to intervene in everything. So here's what I want to say about this experience that I'm going through and the blessing that you chose topically today. May your every day dawn with purpose and passion. When you start your day with your sense and understanding of what your purpose and your promise, and the word is promise, not passion, in the phrase, when you hold your purpose and your promise in your hand and understand what it is to you, you can walk into the day being fully earnest and in tune with all the things that resonate with that purpose in your life, your strongest skill set, your deepest convictions. And that's what enables you to not go nuts about the injustices that exist in the world. Because it's been said by many wise people, Mother Teresa included, you can't do everything, but you can do one thing. You can't love the entire world in an active way, but you can love that one person that's in front of you right now. And so that's how this global, broad, extraordinary experience that I'm in the midst of right now comes into focus in my day. And in a fascinating way, the people that are coming into my path are children that have been bullied, parents that have children that are in need and are puzzled and confused, and I can give them resources. And in this period of time, I'm not trying to solve educational issues and all the problems of the world. I'm walking this path with earnestness, which does not mean that I'm indifferent to the other needs of the world. It means I recognize my energy is finite, my resources are in a container, and I distribute them the best that I am able by being connected every day to what my purpose is.
Folks, we are having a great conversation with Marianne Rademacher, internationally best-selling author, trainer, and artist. Her website is MarianneRodmacher.net. That's MarianneRodmacher.net. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. We'll be back.
The power of one kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time.
Never forget the power of one. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time.
I'm Dr. John DeMartini, and you are listening to Empowered Living with Steve Maraboli.
Welcome back. You're listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. For more information about our speeches, programs, seminars, the Better Today community, make sure you check out bettertoday.com. You can check out stevemaraboli.com for all our corporate stuff. And every single show we have ever done is available 100% free at empoweredlivingradio.com. That's empoweredlivingradio.com. Don't forget, you can go to any of those websites to sign up for our newsletter. You can find me on Twitter and Facebook also. We're having a great conversation with internationally best-selling author, artist, poet, trainer, and just great friend of ours, Marianne Rodmacher. Her website is MarianneRodmacher.net. That's MarianneRodmacher.net. Marianne is also on Facebook. We're having a series called Practical Reflections. Today we're talking about May Every Day Dawn with Purpose and Promise. And I promised that I would get to some feedback. So let's start with Josephine. Josephine's in Laredo, Texas, and she writes, Steve, I was introduced to Marianne through your show, and I also have all her books now. I think that she is an amazing teacher. And could you please ask her if there are some days that she wakes up thinking, what is the purpose? Thank you.
Josephine, yes, there are. There are some days that I wake up, wonder, what's all this for? Does it really matter? Some days I feel like I did before I learned how to swim and just knew how to dog paddle. You know, if you've spent any time dog paddling in the deep end, you know that you work really hard and you don't seem to get very far. And on those days, I do one of two things. I sit down and I read my life mission statement and remind myself with a disciplined, methodical approach that what I do does matter at the very least and at the very best to me. And secondly, Josephine, Some days are just low sail days. There's no wind. And on those days, I recognize that I need to invest in restoration of my own spirit, that I have become weary. And tiredness is an indicator that some self-care and some self-attention and nurturing is in order. And I might take the day off. I might do something that's utterly joyful and fun. I might go to the water and spend time near waves and a view that nurtures me. So it's not a given that 365 days every year I wake up automatically connected to my purpose in life. Some days it's a little more difficult than others.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. There are some days that you do a question, you know, that's absolutely true. And that's the way that life works. That's the beauty of life. The beauty of life is that there's always resistance. Anything in the world, Josephine, that's moving has resistance. And that's, we're subject to those same laws of physics, psychologically and spiritually as well. So thank you for your feedback. And we're going to keep going with some more feedback. We got another Marianne, but this Marianne is in Cleveland, Ohio, and she writes, Steve, thank you for putting a word out for the veterans. My husband is still serving, and I had sent him Marianne's books, and he enjoys the Live with Intention magnet piece I sent him. Could you please ask Marianne if her journals will ever be mass produced overseas?
I'm wondering if she means blank journals that people can write in.
I'm thinking that's what she means, because she started at the top of that. She wrote all about journal writing and how journaling has changed her life.
Well, I have to concur with her. And when I send out my packets to my adopted soldiers that are serving in Afghanistan and Iraq, I often include blank journals as part of their care packages. The internet really provides access from around the world to anything that we can get here. In large part, you can get almost anywhere if you have an internet connection. And that's what I have to say about that.
I love it. All right, we're going to keep going. We're going to go with Debbie. Debbie's in Charlotte, North Carolina. She writes, Steve, big fan of the show, huge fan of Marianne Rademacher. Could you please ask Marianne if she has a better understanding now, not only what it feels to be bullied, but on what such communities that are outcast may be going through, and what can we do to help?
I do have a better understanding. I am inclined and have talked to kids saying, seek a community. In this process where you are being bullied, seek safe places, seek allies, seek people to whom you can go and know that either they will get the word to someone or they will be part of your small community that you can create as an alternative and a place to go. The resources, Debbie, I'm trying to build the places that I can tell people to go for education. Tolerance.org is an incredible resource for parents and educators and anyone that wants to expand their capacity to understand how to honor diversity. And rather than give a list, I will say I've tried to provide a list of resources for educational purposes on several pages on my website. And what we can do individually is understand how not to put ourselves at risk, but to intervene in the process of bullying. And a symposium that just happened in my own community a couple of weeks ago had a trainer who used this phrase, ring the bell.
when you see bullying happening, ring the bell. Don't draw additional attention to the bully, because bullies are challenged by that and energized. And if you shame the bully in the act of bullying a weaker, smaller, different individual, they're going to get it worse later. So what you want to do is ring the bell, create a distraction, drop a purse, trip over your backpack, cough really loud, get the eyes of the bully that doesn't, you're not saying, shame on you, I see you, I'm going to tell, and all those things might be true, but what you're doing is you're saying, hi, I see you. I'm engaging your eye contact, and you're breaking the momentum of the bullying without potentially bringing harm to yourself or more harm to the individual that's being bullied. Ring the bell.
I was wondering this because, I have a couple of feedbacks that are similar to this, but I'd always figured that if your kid was being bullied, and maybe this is just unrealistic, if your kid was being bullied, you can't. Is it bad advice to say just go punch the kid right in the face? Is that bad advice or is that unrealistic? Like, I think that if I was young and I was being bullied, I'd hit the kid so hard. And listen, if it caught me a beating later, then I get it. But chances are, does that diffuse or is that just silly or is that answering violence with violence? Or what's your take on that? Because I have a few feedbacks that are similar to that.
Okay, I can tell you that in one of my instances of bullying, where I was bullied repeatedly, one day I rose up and I almost broke the perpetrator's jaw. And that ended, boy, was that a big bell.
Okay.
I stood up for myself and it stopped the cycle. But I was ready and physically able at that age then to defend myself. I don't think that is necessarily a hard and fast, rigid model for how it should work. Also in grade school, a younger fellow, small stature, was being beaten consistently, and I did use physical, I bullied the bullies in grade school and said, he's with me now. And if you're going to do that to him, you're going to have to do it to me first. But I was prepared. I wouldn't do that today, Steve. I'm pleased that as a child I learned how to stand up for myself. And if I had had a parent that was paying attention, maybe they would have given me Taekwondo lessons or something that would have enabled me to be defendable by myself. These days, there are a host of options that are available besides simply punching the bully back. But certainly on the table is, always has been, punching the bully back. Yeah, you have to calculate the risk at the moment. If you punch the bully back, can you follow it up with another punch that's going to end the abuse? Or is it going to just make it worse? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I totally understand. I totally understand what you're saying.
So that's why Stop Bullying Now, the government website, gives videos and training and options for kids that see bullying happening and also for kids that are being bullied. It's important that a kid that's being bullied recognizes that there are a host of tools available to them. The kids that end up having to call the suicide hotline at the Trevor Project are the kids that feel they have no options. And there are options, and it does get better. That's the important message.
What a horrible feeling that you have no options. I mean, when you think about that, that's as far as you could get, I think, from from what we were talking about at the beginning of the show. May every day dawn with purpose and promise. And these kids being bullied who are calling this line are feeling the exact opposite of that, that there are no options.
They're weary. They're exhausted. They're tired. They cannot creatively imagine another way of being because it's been like that and they have been abused for so long.
That's just what they know. So the opposite of that is simply, you know, harming yourself directly, going with the flow of what's been happening to you, and you harming yourself. It's so sad, and I'm so glad that you took this stand and that you bring attention to these agencies, because until you started writing it on your head, I didn't know that these organizations even existed.
And it's kind of weird, Steve. You and I talked about how I said it's the way you write your life. And I've said for years, you tell the tale of your life by the stories you repeat in your day. Writing on my skull is just a physical representation of what we all do every day by our actions, by the stories we tell, by the way we talk at work and how we act when we're driving and walking. We're writing on, literally, by our actions, we're writing on the billboard of our life what we believe and how we perceive the world. Mine is just a little more legible at this particular moment.
Jonathan in Utah asked a great question. He says, Steve, I love the idea of waking with purpose and promise. Could I ask if you or Mary Ann set out a goal list or a to-do list in the morning, or do you do it the night before? I'll take any advice that works. Thank you so much.
You go first, Steve.
I have a list of things that I do, and I'll usually do it the night before for the next day, but there's plenty of times that I'll do it that day. But I always have my map, I always have my list, and I'll always be prepared in that sense. So it's just whatever works.
I have a red book that it's my storehouse of projects, things, targeted dates of completion, stuff I don't want to forget. And then the night before, I focus on the one thing that I want to manifest in the coming day. And then in the morning, I target the most important things to focus on before I leave my house. And I also view it as a map, a useful guide, because inevitably a day doesn't unfold the way that you lay it down first thing in the morning. I think the day changed its mind before the ink had dried on my to-do list.
That's absolutely true. That's always
so. It's good to have a view. Yeah.
Do you get to when you go through your day? Do you get frustrated if you don't check off everything on your list, or do you not allow yourself to go to sleep unless everything's checked off on your list? What's your relationship with that list?
Well, because I have a red book that contains each task on a little card, it's very malleable and movable and flexible. And I try no longer to operate off of a rigid, specified list because I've learned that frustrates me. Because inevitably, I'm an overshooter, so I'm going to do 17 and a half things today before 2. And so I find that if I don't put all 17 of those things on a hard list, I feel more successful at the end of the day. What I do have in front of me, Steve and Jonathan, right there, right 2 feet in front of me, is my life mission statement and my categorical goals and the purposes of my life. That's what's in front of me every day. My larger vision, my greater goals. And that helps me recognize that the little steps each day that I take, if they're part of that greater mission, hey, that's a success. And I feel that I've accomplished a lot if I've done one thing that is in accord and cadence with my greater purpose in life.
I love it. I do the same thing. I love it. I have that general mission as well, and I keep it broad so that it lets me do all the goodness. I'll do what I can while I can. And during the day, what I actually call them, as I call them, opportunities to unanticipated good is what I call those things. Those things that sidetrack you sometimes, I call it unanticipated good, and I get to, and I absolutely go do it because it does fit in my overall purposes, which is I'll do what I can while I can. So it was great to hear. I was curious, and I'm glad that I asked. We're going to go with, hopefully I can fit in one or two more feedback. This one's coming from Joanne. Joanne is in North Platte, Nebraska, and she writes, "Steve, I love this show. I listen on a Christian channel in North Platte. Could you please ask Marianne if she has ever thought to do a children's book of art, and if so, what would the overall message be? Would it be one of purpose? Would it be one of motivation? Or would it simply be one of self-esteem? What does she feel the greatest message to deliver our children is?"
The most important message is the message that Steve has emblazoned on all the shirts he gives out. Empowerment. Empowerment is the umbrella over self-esteem. When an individual, when a child recognizes that they have the power to determine their attitude and their view toward the day, then they don't have to feel just like one of 37 kids in a row of desks in a room full of rooms full of kids at desks. But they recognize they are an empowered, powerful individual who can choose cooperation and cooperative behavior with the whole of the group because they are in charge of their own behavior, not someone else. So even when a child hears, "because I said," a child needs to have the capacity to recognize, "I'm the kid. That's my parent. And it's my job as a child in this family to learn to follow the rules." It's not, in my view, the best offer of advice to a child to say, "because I said." But sometimes that is the best explanation an adult can give a child. So I would love to do a children's book celebrating individual empowerment, and maybe, just maybe, Joanne, someday I will.
I love it. I'm gonna fit one more in here. This one coming from Audrey. Audrey's in Ottawa, Canada, and she writes, I nearly tipped off my chair when I heard Marianne first doing drawings on the kitchen wall. I did the same in my home, and while I did not continue a career in art, I keep doodling here and there. My daughter shows proficiency in the arts, and I was curious what advice Marianne could give me to help my daughter and maybe guide her without pushing her too much.
Steve, you and I have just received a note from one of your listeners who took one of our shows to heart and has built a whole whiteboard, cork board wall thing in their kitchen specifically for their children, for the art to go up, for family questions to be answered. They, as a family, each week decide what question they're going to ask each other and talk about over the dinner table. And it's taken up and has become the focal point of their kitchen.
I believe that if parents honor and accept what their children produce and don't take on the role of critic too early, because trust me, we all know there's plenty of critics around coming up later in life to teach a child how to deal with criticism. What a joy for a child to bring a piece to a parent and have the parent say, "This is perfect, just as it is. Let's put it up on the wall." And you keep it up for a week, and then you look for something new. Don't create a hall of fame, but honor the creation and inspire continuing newness and fresh approaches, and honor them all.
I love it. Anytime we talk to you, I love it. We use words like honor and love and respect, which is just fantastic. Those are things that nourish the kind of world I love living in. Marianne, this hour is up. I want to let you all know, folks, we just had a great conversation with Marianne Rademacher, internationally best-selling author, poet, artist, trainer. Make sure you check out MarianneRodmacher.net. That's MarianneRodmacher.net. Marianne, thank you so much for coming on to the show again. Appreciate you so
Steve,
much.
Steve, I'm adding a Mirabolism to my treasure chest. Do you want to know what it is?
Please share.
Take the opportunity today to do unanticipated good. Steve Mirabolli.
Oh,
You've done
love
it again.
Thank you so much.
I'll write it out for you and send it so you can put it on your wall, Steve.
Thank you so much. Folks, I want to make sure you check out MarianneRodmacher.net. That's MarianneRodmacher.net. It's only an hour show today. It's Veterans Day, and I have a million veteran things to get to. I just didn't want to cancel the show today because Marianne's on. My world stops when Marianne Rodmacher is coming on because I know we all appreciate it. It's one of those shows that I'm not the host of the show. I become a fan of the show and a listener just like you. So thank you all so much for listening. Make sure you say thank you to a veteran today and check out MarianneRodmacher.net. That's MarianneRodmacher.net, and check her out on Facebook also. You're listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Mirabolli. Go out there and touch someone's life. Go out there and participate. Go out there and make a difference, and never forget, I love you all. Don't forget to check out our website, empoweredlivingradio.com. We'll see you next time.
Better Today would like to thank you for listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free.